Good morning. Today is Thursday, December the 3rd, 338th day of the new year. Joining us this morning, Humboldt County Sheriff, an all-around good guy, he says, Mike Downey.
You got it.
Yeah, as long as you stay out of the Speedos, we're okay.
Oh, well, the weather's been getting better this week, except for the rain we're having. It's warming up.
You know, you need that something in the pool to swim in, right?
There you go. Yeah, okay. I guess, Brian, you're always thinking.
Yeah, always concerned more than thinking, I think. More of a self-preservation thing. Our quote this morning comes from, Rosalind Carter. Does that work for you?
Sure.
Did she have a comment about the peanut when it went back?
No.
It was just Jimmy.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Quote, a leader takes people where they want to go. A great leader takes people where they don't necessarily want to go, but ought to be.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's kind of cool seeing some of the stories now about first ladies and their influences.
Yeah.
And who was really running the show. Yeah.
Yes.
Big stunner, huh? Now, the sheriff's department, do we have any concerns?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Everything's good. Everything,
right near? Yeah.
Everything is good. No, I mean, we always have our stresses and strains, but we seem to be doing fairly well.
I would think that the spouse is always going to be there anyway, and for people not to think that there's some influence. I mean, you talk.
Right.
You're looking for different inputs and perspectives. And
tell secrets.
Well, yeah, and, you know, I would think for you guys, the biggest thing is to get outside the uniform.
Yeah.
You know, it's got to be tough, particularly for the career guys.
Well, you know, it's like I've told people in the past, is that we live in a world of chaos, and that's kind of what keeps us adrenaline junkies going is the chaotic world that we live in as law enforcement officers or whatever it is you're doing. That keeps us, you know, looking down the road.
So when you take that home and you're kicking around the dinner table, is that a chance to just get different perspectives, or do you
have to? Yeah, because it's hard to talk about some of the things that you may have witnessed or done on the street when you're out working, because usually your family members can't relate to that. You know, it's hard for them to understand some of the things you've seen or witnessed or been involved in. So it's you have to have a separation.
A lot of times, you'll find that people who grew up in similar family situations get it. You know, if you're in business and you marry somebody who was either they were or their family was in business, there's commonality and there's no less surprises and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Does that ring true with cops also? Yeah, if the spouse, I guess it goes either way anymore, grew up in a law enforcement or military, there's understanding, better understandings.
Yeah, it does help because it's you know, sometimes, especially for someone that has no background in that, trying to figure out why their partner, whether it be male or female, is why they can't be home for Christmas, why they can't be home Christmas Eve, why they have to work, or you know. So there's those things are sometimes hard to understand, and if you're not used to that culture, it's hard to accept.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Mike Downey. Mike, last time together we talked a little bit about for the expansion of the courthouse, jail, et cetera, facility. I think it was you'd made mention about some additional mental health folks being there, caseworkers, that kind of stuff. And it must have been Friday afternoon is when you had the event. What was it? An attack? Two attacks? Or an attack?
Oh, yes.
On the jailers and the escort. Right. And it was like, you know, serving is probably the prime example A of why you need to have some of this stuff there.
Yeah, we had within 12 hours of each event, we had two correctional deputies assaulted. Individuals that they were moving from one area to another, that type of thing, and out of the blue, they were assaulted. And it's a sign of the type of inmate that we're now housing at the Humboldt County Sheriff's Correctional Facility. And part of what's come out of AB 109, jail realignment, and Prop 47, all those things have added to this. So we have a whole different type of clientele, you might say, at the correctional facility. So with this new expansion that we're looking at, this will help alleviate some of those issues in the sense that we'll have a better grasp on the depth and severity of some of the mental ill issues that are going on within the facility. I mean, let's face it, county lockups are the biggest mental facilities we have in the state of California. I mean, that's where your people end up.
Were these mentally unstable, or were these guys trying to get an advantage or lashing out? Or
I think it's a little bit of both. And both incidences these folks had similar incidents, you know, issues in the past. In fact, in one of the attacks, as soon as it happened, that inmate went right back to his cell, closed the door, lay down on the bunk. And that was over. It was over.
Really?
Yeah. So, you know, it's a strange environment.
So does that put everybody on their P's and Q's for the next little bit? Do you change your training sequences because of that?
Waiting for
the construction to get done?
Yeah, that'd be nice. No, both of these incidences were clearly out of the blue. People that my correctional deputies have dealt with in the past without any issues, and it was both of them were just totally unprovoked, unseen,
bad pudding kind of thing.
I don't know. Yeah, just all of a sudden they just lashed out, and that's part of the problem with having longer term people sentenced to a county facility, because we don't have quite the array of programs available they do on the state level as far as getting out into the yards and actually getting out into the sunshine and working out in an open environment. We don't have that kind of ability to do that.
Just to let them burn off some of the energy?
Mm-hmm. Right. So, and some of these people that are in our maximum units, they're in there for, you know, 22, 23 hours a day, and they're out for an hour or so to shower and to walk around and that type of thing. So they're in an environment that's rather confining.
When you say maximum security, what does that mean?
Well, you know, we have certain portions of the jail that have both single and double cells, and these are for obviously the single cells are for our higher risk people that are awaiting trial or have been sentenced to short terms, and then the double cells are people that are still at higher risk, but they're compatible with those that we put them with. There are people that you can house in twos that are compatible and are able to get along with each other, but are still a threat or a risk. That might be a better word.
So can you buy your way into a single cell?
No, it hasn't happened yet.
Oh, okay. So only by actions, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Last month you said that it was looking good, that the grant was looking good. Have you heard anything yet?
Yeah, we did get the award, $20 million award for the expansion of our current facility, which will include actually three stories, because the bottom story is going to be a parking garage, because parking is a premium around the courthouse. And with two additional stories, it'll house mental health, sheriff's office, some soft beds, probation, and other work programs and educational programs that are needed and come under this SB 863 grant.
So do you get out of the basement?
Do we get out of the basement?
Yeah.
As far as?
Offices?
No, not yet. I know which offices you're talking about. We still have some down there.
Is it bad?
No, it actually relieves some of the stress in different places, so it'll help. But you know, the county facilities are older facilities. That building's been there a long time. The sheriff's office where it sits now has been there. I've been in that same office my whole career, and there's been, you know, a little upgrade because of, you know, we don't have the ability or the financial ability to make massive major improvements.
Yeah, the only one I'm aware of, other than picking yet another ugly color for the paint, was the seismic.
Yes.
And I don't know what triggered that. Was that URM from the state that all buildings had to have?
Yeah, earthquakes we've had have necessitated these seismic upgrades, which have been costly. You know, originally, the existing jail was built, one of the phases was built to have two additional stories on top of it for expansion issues. But as time went by, you know, the facility's 16, 17 years old now, it doesn't meet the standards set down today that were set down 17 years ago, so we can't go up.
Without significant
right
investment.
Mm-hmm.
That seems a shame. I mean, you think you maybe just shell it or something, don't finish it.
That makes a lot of sense. But you know, you had so many dollars to expend, and they expended them. So right now, we're looking at the expansion will be about a $21.5 million expansion.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Mike Downey. Mike, the $20 million. I hope somebody gave you a standing O on that one, or you guys, you know, getting that confirmation must right. have been nice, because that was a 2-year process, wasn't it?
No, it was about a 8-month process to get.
So this
to where
isn't the one
now.
That you did before no. that was turned down no, and then you resubmitted.
This is a new, whole new funding source. It's the same, different number, different funding source, but it's a complement to the old SB 1022 that we did not get a couple of years ago.
Is there a match involved with this?
Yeah, it's a small, I forget exactly what the match is, but the match is being fulfilled through property that's encumbered by the county already, so we're able to make the match.
Oh, so it's not additional cost.
No.
Well, that's kind of cool. Is it what you were hoping for?
It is what the people of Eureka and Humboldt County were hoping for. I think that's the main thing. In my world, we'd probably put in more hard beds and to take care of the additional clientele we could possibly have. But
is there a rumor that the state's going to be? Are you talking about those who would be receiving treatment and stuff, or do you see that the state is going to be changing the game again?
Well,
you're going to get more bad guys here.
I don't see a decline in crime. That's the problem. I do not see a decline in crime, especially in Humboldt County. But I think what this will do is it will alleviate the stress that's on the current facility in regards to mental illness and those that might need programs help them reintegrate back into society. So to remove that from the current facility, bring it over to a softer facility to make that transition, and it will free up some space for us over in the current jail.
So when you're intaking those off balance, I guess would be a kind term to use.
Mm-hmm.
These are going to be the receiving cells. This is going to be their holding areas. This is going to be where they stay, so you're not turning them out and doing
right
that kind of stuff.
And it'll also be for programs we already have. Some of our work crews will probably stay in there. You know, those are low security type of people, more of an honor system. They'll still be supervised, that type of thing.
So they're still housed in the in the Hilton.
Right, they still be housed, okay. But in the newer part. And also, it would also facilitate that whole reintegration concept of bringing people back into the community through a process out of the main jail back to this facility out into the public.
Juvie Hall was going to be, I think, when Bill Damiano was in last time, said that there were some changes going on there, in addition, obviously, to mm-hmm. this thing and you guys having them under your roof with the probation components of it. Does this have any opportunity to house some of the more violent younger?
No.
That still is going to stay as
it'll
it is.
It'll stay with juvenile hall. We don't hold that kind of classification to hold anyone that's under 18 years of age. It is strictly an adult facility.
Keeps it easier that way?
Yeah, it does keep it easier.
How you doing with Measure Z? Is that you're going to be coming up halfway close to
right.
to a half year here. Is it producing what you were hoping? Have you been able to spend it the way that you were hoping to?
Yeah, I'm getting there. You know, I asked for 30 positions for approximately $3.5 million for the year. I knew that I would not be able to expend the whole $3.5 million because of the fact they have to hire. But at this point, I was just looking at our figures today, and out of the 30 positions I'm asking for, and those are not all deputy sheriffs or correctional deputies, but out of those 30 positions, I'm right at about 24 or 5 that I've filled. Now, I still have some positions in my regular budget that have not been filled also I'm working on. But out of that Measure Z pot, I think I'm going to be up around 24, 25 here by the end of the year.
So is that what you were hoping for?
It's better than
I hoped. It seems a little bit higher.
Yeah. I was trying to be as optimistic as I could when we went through those meetings. And again, I go back to the fact that the Board of Supervisors allowed personnel to begin the hiring process long before Measure Z was actually implemented. I mean, it had already been approved by the voters, but it had not totally been implemented. And that gave me the ability to start bringing people on immediately. And so I was thinking I'd be happy if by the mid-year I was somewhere around the halfway mark.
Oh, so you're...
So I'm beyond.
You're taking names and kicking butt here.
Yeah, it's gone really well. I've had to increase my background staff substantially.
Support staff or people who do background.
Actual background checks. I have one chief person who's in charge of that unit, and he's got three or four extra help people and retirees working with him, and they're cranking. He is very busy man. And doing an excellent job in getting us through this process.
So the missing, the not yet hired folks, where are those holes, so to speak?
Probably one of my biggest holes right now is in the corrections arena. We really need to tighten up on that and get a grasp on that. In fact, what we're doing, we're reaching out to academies throughout the state that the correctional deputies have to go through what's called a core course. It's a 6-week course that they have to complete prior to 1 year of employment. So there are academies throughout the state where these people are putting themselves through the core course. We're hitting those places now, and actually we're sending out a recruitment team here in a few weeks to actually go down and do the testing process and the interview process and do it all right there on site.
Oh, so you go to the school?
Right, and that way we capture, so to speak, those people right there, and we get a commitment from them. And so we're hoping that really really helps quite a bit to fill those holes.
Six wouldn't seem like a big number.
Six.
But it seems like six positions is a significant impact for you.
Yeah, you know, I'm right now in the corrections side, I'm down probably 10 to 12 total.
Okay.
I was down much more than that.
Regular budget plus the Z money.
Yeah, right.
Together.
Right. So we're...
Is that a real tough job?
Yeah, it is. I mean, they work 12-hour shifts. They're in a confined environment, and it is a tough job. It is a skilled position, and they work really hard. And those that take that path, that career path, are dedicated to what they do. They're hardworking, good employees. They're good at what they do. You know, I could not even begin to to be able to perform the tasks that they do, you know.
Well, hopefully you still understand what they're trying to do.
Yes, I do.
Okay. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:43. We'll be back with more from Mike Downey.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Mike Downey. Mike, do you guys get any blowback or, I guess, feedback from some of these things that are going on throughout the country? Earlier this week, Emanuel, the mayor of Chicago, got rid of his fire chief, saying he moved, or police chief, rather. He moved too slow. He didn't do,
right.
Yeah, right, okay, obviously it was a political thing. And I know our area isn't quite as political as a lot of them are.
Right.
But do you guys get blowback from Baltimore, from St. Louis, from Poughkeepsie, from wherever, you know, these things are popping up?
Well, directly probably no, but indirectly there is some. You know, I mean, I think we're seeing soft examples of that going on here. There's that whole thing from when I grew up in the 60s and 70s about distrust of law enforcement starting to kind of bubble up again. And, you know, there are incidences that have occurred nationwide that would make anyone tend to wonder what's going on here. What is the bottom line? I think the main thing to put back out to the general public is what police officers, deputy sheriffs, law enforcement officers do every day. We make thousands upon thousands of contacts with citizens every day. And they're good contacts, and they end the way they're supposed to, and people walk away with a good sense of being served well by the law enforcement officer that contacted them. But if you have one incident out of those thousands that leaves something to be desired, then that one incident is all people look at, and I understand that. But I think if you weigh it out, you know, law enforcement serves this community and all the communities throughout the nation very well. And again, we have thousands of contacts a day that we're conducting.
That's what I was wondering. What is your total number of interactions in a year?
For my office?
Yeah.
And these are some statistics that aren't even captured, because a lot of times you'll have deputy. I get notes all the time from people that say, deputy sheriff saw me stopped alongside the road and realized that I had a flat tire and stayed with me until the tow truck arrived and even offered to give me a ride or even help me change the tire.
That would count as a contact.
A contact. You know,
me.
I mean, there are contacts. We have contacts like that all the time.
A million a year, you think? Would that be fair?
For us?
Yeah, 3,000 a day?
Oh, I don't know. Not that many, but we have, I'd say, you know, quite a few hundred thousand contacts a year for my office.
How many would you like to redo out of that?
You know, that's a tough one to say, because there is that portion of society that doesn't understand what law enforcement's main job is, what their vision is, what their goal is, what they're trying to do. So sometimes they don't understand, and it becomes a bad contact.
Well, thanks for the dance.
You're welcome.
Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hugs from y'all. See you later.